Hey everybody, Pastor Darren here sitting with Pastor Mike for our Sunday sermon recap of chapter 16 of the book of Luke and our Living Hope series. And so chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus parable.
Yep.
There was a lot of layers to this particular.
Yeah, there was a lot.
You could actually preach sermons within sermons within mm-hmm. sermons in this particular passage of scripture.
Yeah, I thought about breaking it into two just because there's two almost not competing ideas, but there's kind of two ideas in the passage of the rich man ignoring Lazarus and what that means for his life and what, you know, the situation he's in. And then there's the idea of at the end, well, I guess the him ignoring Lazarus and us understanding who he was and why he ends up in hell. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one sermon. And then the second one could have just been literally just that quote at the end that I kept misquoting, which was, if you don't listen to Moses and the prophets, then a man raised from the dead won't be enough for you. You know, just the idea of if the Bible's not enough, if you won't listen to the Bible, then what's a man raised from the dead? You know, that's almost could have been two different sermons. Yeah. So tried to weave it in there together, but yeah, it could have been spent 2 weeks on it.
It was a good parable as usual. And typically Jesus's parables mm-hmm. are really general starting off. It's more like there was a woman who, or a man.
Exactly. Yep.
Or, you know, a yep. man once.
Yep. There once was a rich man.
Yeah, there once was a rich man.
Once was a sinner.
But like you yeah. said on Sunday, this particular passage, he actually used someone's name, which was Lazarus.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the first time in scriptures. And I actually had somebody come up to me after church and ask me, and this was a good question because I thought about it too as I was studying it. They said, do you think maybe the fact that he used somebody's name means that it wasn't a parable but a true story? Mm-hmm. And there are some people that think that. There's some, it's been preached that way sometimes. And you know, there's no way to really know. The reason I preach it as a parable is because that's kind of historically the way that it's known. And that's kind of the mainstream of thought is that this is a parable specifically because of what you just said, the way Jesus introduces it, because every parable, he introduces it the same way
yeah.
he introduced this one. There once was a rich man, or once was X. And that's, if you read the script, you pay attention, that's how he introduces parables. And so that's one reason why it's, I guess the common thought is that it was a parable and not a true story. Although the principles of heaven and hell are true, and Jesus is teaching on these principles. But, you know, I would say, if you're asking my opinion is that it wasn't a true story, but a parable. But I would understand why some people would think that.
Well, we can ask when we get there.
We'll ask him when we get there. That's right. Yeah.
So in the parable, there was a rich man, very wealthy.
Yep.
Wearing Gucci sandals, rocking the Prada.
Went from the Jordan to the Gucci.
Gucci.
Yeah, man.
Wearing
man.
The Prada. Wasn't
that
Rose.
A step down, Gucci from Jordan? I'm just saying.
He's riding a Bentley Camel.
Yes.
So.
Sorry, you got me on
and
that.
Like
one.
You said, sleeping on Egyptian sheets.
Egyptian so. Cotton, baby. Yeah.
Egyptian
yeah.
cotton.
That's eating. How you know you made it. You got Egyptian cotton sheets.
You made it.
Yeah.
So eating the best foods.
Yep.
Like you said. Like the scripture says, eating yeah. lavishly.
Well, and the reason I said steak and lobster is because every time at the house, Katie asked me, what do you want to eat? I'm like, what do I want? I want steak and lobster, but what are my options?
Hamburger
yeah, yeah. Hey, don't be trashing Hamburger Helper, man. That's about all I can cook.
But then there was the extreme. There was the other
yeah.
extreme.
Yeah.
There was a poor man
yep.
covered in sores, dogs licking his wounds,
right.
laying at his gate.
Yep.
And more than likely, he's been there for a while.
Yeah, well, the idea, when it says, in the Bible, it says that he's laying at the gate, the Greek, the idea that we get from the script, because the Greek language is like an imagery language, you know, and so the imagery is that he was cast out there.
Mm.
So he's not just, he didn't just, you know, say, oh, this is where I'm going to set up camp. This was like, he's tried to be in other places, and they've cast him out and said, this is where you belong, essentially.
Okay.
And so it's kind of it's extreme. It's in his shame that he's like, he's been thrown there. That's where he's been. It's where you've been put, because yeah. we don't want you anywhere else, you know.
So the rich man has obviously seen him multiple times.
He's seen him,
bypassed him multiple yeah. times, and mm-hmm. like, and you said he was at his gate of the home.
That's what it says. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So then one day the poor man's gone.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he died. And the Bible says he was carried away by angels into yeah. Abraham's side
yep.
or heaven.
Yeah.
Then the rich man also died.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible actually mentions he was buried.
Yeah.
Which you kind of talked about a little bit.
Yeah, I mentioned it because you have, even like in life, they have different life experiences. One's rich, enjoying all of the beautiful wonders of life. You have Lazarus, who's, you know, we talked about it Sunday, but even in the dogs licking his sores, and we think, oh, he has man's best friend. Like that was an act of shame in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And so he's living this shamed life, and the dogs, Jesus mentioning that he's got these dogs licking his sores is Jesus explained to us that basically shame on top of his shame. And so he's just this miserable type life. And then even in death, they're treated differently. Mm-hmm. Even in death, you have one man who's honored in burial. He's on, you know, he probably had some type of funeral service for him, and his life is remembered. And the Bible just says, well, and then there's Lazarus. He died. That's it. You know, he's carried away by angels, but ain't nobody see that.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like he died, then here comes the angels, you know. And so,
He probably had this very lavish funeral.
Yeah.
All
the
trimmings.
Mm-hmm.
Great wealth, like you said, all these worldly possessions, but look where he ended up.
Yeah, he spent his life chasing the finite, which again, we said Sunday isn't bad to enjoy finite things, because everything in this world that God created is, when God created it, was good and beautiful and wonderful and meant to for his creation to enjoy. You know, he creates, and what does he say after he creates everything? It was good. Mm-hmm. He's not creating the world and being like, well, I hope they don't enjoy it,
right?
So he's creating beautiful, wonderful things for us to enjoy as his creation. And so the rich man enjoying the beautiful things of life wasn't necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that he's enjoying these things, but they were finite. What I mean by that is his God was the finite things of this world. Mm-hmm. And so these things that God creates are meant to ultimately lead us to, you know, enjoy, and because we enjoy them, we think, oh, isn't God good that there's beautiful weather and good food and I have a house over my head and I have clothes to wear? Like, isn't God good? And those good things are meant to lead us in worship and awe and wonder of him and ultimately to him. But the mistake we see in the rich man is those things, instead of leading him to God, became his God.
Yeah.
And so that's where he messes up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, because a lot of times we read this passage and we go, okay, so to enjoy life is not good. I can't enjoy life. It's like,
right.
No, God wants you to enjoy life. He's not up there like, you know, if you smile, I'm going to get you, right? He like, again, every time he creates, it's good. Enjoy, right? Be fruitful and multiply, right?
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy. But that enjoyment is meant to lead us to him. And it became this man's God. And that's ultimately why he ends up where he ends up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was what I was going to ask. So the Bible doesn't tell us why he ended up in hell, but based on this passage of scripture and just kind of a lifetime of focusing on these worldly finite things.
Yeah. Well, so here's what's interesting. And this is, I didn't dive into it because I didn't have time Sunday, and I didn't want to be confusing because there already were kind of competing ideas in this passage. Not competing ideas, but just it goes in two different directions. And so you kind of try to rope it in or tie it in. But so he's not in a hell because he ignores Lazarus. Later on, you even see whenever Abraham's talking to him, he says, even if a man raises from the dead, they will not repent, right? Or I can't remember exactly a phrase. Maybe it's the scriptures that will lead him to repentance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is because he doesn't repent of his sin that he's in hell, all right? So that's the reason he's in hell. But the thing that's difficult for us is that Jesus is showing us that he's also in hell because he ignores Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
So his sin is that he has all these things and he ignores Lazarus and he never repents of that sin.
Mm-hmm.
He never has a changed life. So it's not a works-based passage that says, well, if he had helped Lazarus, then he would have gone to heaven.
Right.
So it's not saying that.
Right.
But Jesus is very clearly telling us his sin and the reason he's in hell is because he has all these possessions, doesn't help Lazarus, and never repents of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's in hell. And that's difficult for us to unpack.
Yeah.
And that's difficult for us to gather. But ultimately, that's what Jesus is showing us. And so it is a warning for us Because it's not like, all right, well, so if I help people, that means I go to heaven. No, right. No. You got to repent of your sin. But if he had helped Lazarus, if he had loved Lazarus, if he had shared his wealth, given it, whatever, that would have been a reflection of his repentant life. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what is revealed to us about his sin is that he's selfish, focused on the finite because he doesn't help Lazarus. If he had repented, then it would have changed his life. It would have changed the way he lived his life, which would have then led him to help Lazarus. So it's kind of a confusing thought process, but that's kind of what's going on there. And so his heart is revealed to us in that he ends up in hell by his actions. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah.
So while in hell, he calls out to Abraham with Lazarus next to him begging to allow Lazarus to dip his finger in some water, just to reach out to help him while he's in that agony in hell. And like you said, Sunday,
he calls him by name.
He calls him by name.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because that means he knew him.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't even just like, you know, we might see people wherever that we could help or have an opportunity to help, and we don't know them by name. Mm-hmm. Right? We see them. We don't know much about them. It's whatever. You move. This guy was so familiar with Lazarus that he knows his name.
Yeah.
And that adds to the sin, I think. I mean, I'm putting my spin on it, but I think that adds to the wickedness of this man's heart, that he knows his name.
Mm-hmm.
If you know somebody's name, that's personal, that's relational, that's deeper than just a person.
Some guy on the street.
Some guy on the street. Yeah. That's. I mean, draw from it what you will, but he knows him by name, which means that it says something about the relationship that's there.
Yeah,
I think so.
And you also said Sunday, and I would probably fall into that petty category.
I won't say nothing, but based on the text message that I get from you when the Cowboys lose, I'd say so.
And I would be like, oh, now you want to reach out to me.
Yeah.
That's that petty side.
Absolutely.
You know, you drove
sure
by
me. Sure is hot down there, huh?
Sure is hot down there. Uh-huh. You drove by me in your Bentley Camel. Now look at you.
How, you want some steak? Huh? You want? Sorry. Too bad.
Exactly. Yeah. So I probably would have fallen into that category.
Right.
To be honest.
But, yeah. Yeah.
Because now there's that gap between. It's like the Bible says in verse 26, there's that chasm between them.
Yeah. Yep.
The gap is heaven and hell. And it even says there's no crossing over at this point.
Abraham says, we can't come to you and you can't come to us, which is so sad, first of all. So sad. And then, but it also tells us that Jesus is showing us this is a final choice. Once you die, that is it.
Mm-hmm.
That is the final choice. And so, death is final. It makes all things final.
Yeah. And like we said early on, there's just so many layers to this particular passage. And a couple of things that you mentioned on Sunday is not getting caught up in the world, seeking things that are meaningless to eternity. And I'm joking about, like we said, we're joking about the Gucci and all that.
Mm-hmm.
If you can afford that, that's fine.
Yeah.
But just don't let that
make it your God. Yeah, absolutely.
And consume you.
Yeah. All those things are good. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the good things of life. It's just, if you're enjoying them to the detriment of being able to be, you know, this ties in back to last week's sermon, because this passage is immediately following. Jesus tells this parable to illustrate the passage from last week about stewardship. But if you're pursuing the fine things of life to the detriment of being a good steward of your resources, then that could be sin. You know, it could be, you know, if you're, you know, sacrificing being able to be faithful to God with your finances because you're chasing things that are finite, then that is a place we have to check our hearts and see if we're falling into sin in that place. So
another thing you mentioned is just don't overlook or walk by someone in need. You can be blessed to be a blessing to someone else. And many times we're looking for signs, and those signs are right in front of us. And that one of those signs is Lazarus sitting there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I don't want to be, and I don't want people to make it feel like a self-righteous type thing, or like a, you know, fundamentalist like type message, because I don't want to be like, well, if you're not helping people around you in need, then you're going to hell. Like, that's not what the idea is, but it is, the idea is that we should, as Christians, be, if we're Christians, a reflection of our heart, should be paying attention to those people around us in need. And maybe there is a Lazarus around us that we're missing, a Lazarus around us that we're have an opportunity to help and could help, but because we're focused on self, because we're focused on what is finite, because we're chasing stuff that maybe in the long run doesn't matter, we're missing that person. And as Christians, we should be keeping our eyes open to opportunities around us when God places people in our lives that we can help and love and serve, because as a believer, it should, you know, should change the way we live our lives. And so that's just opportunity for us to be blessings. And so we don't want to, if God has put somebody in our circle of influence that he wants us to bless and love, then we don't want to miss that. Yeah. We want to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And just like we said, there's just so many layers to this particular passage. Yeah. And you also mentioned this passage is also about salvation.
Yeah.
Verse 26, like we just mentioned about that great chasm between that heaven and hell. And once you die, there's no crossing over at that point.
Yeah.
That's where you're at.
Right. Yeah. Well, and he's, there's no crossing over, and he does, it's salvation in the sense that, the second half of the passage is the rich man begging Abraham to send Lazarus back, raise him from the dead, send him back so that my family will believe. Which, if you think anybody, if they're in hell and you realize, oh my goodness, I don't want anybody to come here, then you would want to go back and tell and warn your family. Of course you would. Like, what person would say, like, well, never mind. The thought went in my head. I was going to say something. My mouth caught that one, thankfully. But what type of person would be in hell and say, I want people to join me here, right? And so he wants, go warn my family, right? Please go, you know, help my family. And he says, if you just raise Lazarus from the dead, then they'll believe. And Abraham's response essentially is, if they don't believe the scriptures, a man raised from the dead won't change anything. And the irony there is, Jesus is talking to Pharisees who don't believe what the scriptures have to say about Jesus. In a few weeks from this, the telling of this passage, or when he tells this parable, he's going to be murdered, crucified on a cross. He's going to raise from the dead after 3 days, be resurrected, and those same Pharisees still won't believe. And so it's a warning, and the idea is, say, well, what does that mean if a man's raised from the dead? I think I would believe that. Well, the principle is about the state of our hearts towards the things of God. And so if we look at the scriptures and we harden our hearts like the Pharisees did, then of course a man raised from the dead, it won't matter, because we'll just harden our hearts against that. That's the idea. And so he's saying, you have everything you need. The scriptures tell you of who he is. And so I would say to anybody listening, you know, to this even today, that if you're seeking the Lord and you're seeking, or just searching for truth, dive into the scriptures with an open heart, with an open mind, and say, if there's anything out there, you know, with an open heart, speak to me, you know, reveal yourself to me through your scriptures, through your word. And a lot of times we want, like the rich man was saying, give him proof, give him a sign, give him a miracle, something. Mm-hmm. And we ask God for that. And sometimes he does that. He certainly has the ability to do that. But ultimately, it's opening our hearts to the drawing of the Holy Spirit, to what the scriptures have to say about the Lord. And if we do that, then he can reveal himself to us, because we're allowing it in that sense. But if we don't, if we harden ourselves, then God could, you know, I made the joke Sunday, he could literally walk through the door, you know, resurrected from the dead, and in Texas, he'd just get shot, you know, like that's kind of how it works. But if our hearts are hardened, and so I would say, if you're out, you're listening, soften your heart. Be open to the things of God. Allow himself to reveal himself to you through the scriptures, that you might know him deeply and intimately and in a beautiful, beautiful way.
That's good. So I do have a couple questions from several people who either watched online or, watched or came to one of our services. So, and again, if you'd like to ask a question, you can actually send it through Ask a Pastor on our website. Or you can email me at ilmc@theriverdfw.com. Or like these two people did, you can just grab me in church and just say, I have a couple questions for Pastor Mike. So
that's right. Catch him at church. So you better ask Mike this right now.
All
right.
Here's a couple questions here. So the first question I received was, Pastor Mike, I grew up Catholic. Okay. Is there a purgatory or somewhere in between?
No. That's not really an idea that is taught in the Bible. I won't go into all the history of it, but just short answer is no, that's not. And this, like, even this was, you know, in this parable, he goes straight to hell, straight to heaven. There's no purgatory. So in the Christian faith, we don't believe in that.
There's actually a passage, once to die, after that, mm-hmm. the judgment.
Yeah.
In Hebrews.
Yeah.
So second question I have is this Lazarus that he's talking about in this parable the same Lazarus Jesus raised from the dead?
I don't believe so, because that Lazarus had a different relationship with Jesus. He had a friendship with Jesus, if he was the guy hanging out by the gate, you'd think Jesus would have done something about it instead of being like, oh, a rich man didn't help out my friend, you know? Right. But no, I'm joking, but no, it's not the same.
And if it was it's the not. Same one, man, he had a rough
tough
one.
Life, man. Died, raised from the dead. Like, he was dead, he was in heaven. He was like,
yeah,
he's like, why'd you bring me back, man? You know, just to come back and suffer by this man's gate? Like, what's wrong with you?
So it's not the same one.
No, we don't believe it's the same one, no.
Okay. All right, I have a brand new segment of our podcast.
New segment,
brand
okay.
New segment. All right, okay. Maybe Joel will put like a little graphic.
There you go, throwing some
here somewhere. We'll figure that out. All right,
so hold up. So last week you did the Ask a Pastor, which you didn't warn me about. Now you're throwing in a new segment, which you didn't warn me about. So I like this. You okay. Keep me on my toes.
Let's go. So this segment is called In Closing.
Oh.
In Closing. So you know how some pastors, not you, but some pastors will say, in closing, they'll say like four or five times.
And they just keep
preach
going.
Another 45
yeah,
minutes.
I don't want to lie to people. Yeah, because so, I know it's not going to.
So in closing, what are some things that you discovered during your study of this passage that you wanted to share, but because of time or just didn't fit into the overall theme of the message that you didn't get a chance to share that you'd like to share with us?
Mm-mm. Well, I think we actually covered some of it, because I think one of the things I was thinking through a lot was the idea of what it meant that he knew his name specifically, even more so the idea of Lazarus being, the rich man like being in hell. Jesus basically telling us he's here because of, he doesn't repent, but the specific sin is him ignoring Lazarus. Those were a couple of things I'd really thought about a lot, the why that is, and the fact that if he had repented, he would have treated Lazarus differently. And so those are, we actually covered a lot of the things. So sorry.
No.
In closing, you did a good job of getting it out.
I'll get you next week.
There you go. We'll see. Next week I'll withhold.
All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining us today. And I would encourage you to listen to the message in its entirety. And you can listen to it on our website. You can listen to it through YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And if you don't know God, please reach out to us. We would love to introduce you to him. And in knowing God, you'll find freedom. You'll discover purpose. And unlike this rich man in the story, you can make a difference in someone else's life.
Amen.
God bless you, and we will see you next week.
How are you feeling about the Steelers?
I don't feel good. I don't feel good about it.